Florida is full of characters, but true originals are a bit more rare. Whether it's singing, playing, or cooking, Bill the Sauce Boss Wharton has been a staple of our state and broader for more than 5 decades. His life, career, and cultural contributions are indelible, and the boss ain't done cooking yet. Today, we sit down and talk to the man himself about what he's been up to and what he's about to be up to. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson. And like always, we are joined with an incredibly special guest. Today, the guest is real special. The guest is always really special, but today I get to sit in the seat, not only as a facilitator of this conversation, but as a fan of this personality. I am joined today with Bill Wharton, known to the world as the Sauce Boss. Thanks for joining us, Bill.
Oh, thank you, sir. I really appreciate what you're doing here.
I appreciate you saying that. Today our conversation is going to be about old projects, new projects, mm-hmm. and everything in between. But before I start, in Paco's Garden, one of your songs, or one of the songs that you sing, there's a line in it that says something to the effect of, I can find myself a peaceful pardon for all the things I've done and all the times I've run. Let's talk about some of the things you've done in this checkered and beautiful life. I guess my first question for you would be, how did you arrive at this place? How did music become your anecdote and your lifestyle?
Well, the first time I really heard music, I was just captivated with it.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Do you come from a musical family?
Not like musicians. I mean, uh-huh. my folks like music, you know. Sure. But I guess when I was... One of my first memories was my mother pushing me in a swing,
uh-huh.
singing to me. You know, it was like, Jesus loved me, yes I know.
Absolutely.
Higher.
You
Jesus
know.
Loves me, yes I know. 'Cause the Bible tells me so. Higher. Because I was just a little kid, and all I wanted to do was go higher. You know what I'm saying? I was 4 years old or something. And she had such a wonderful voice. And then when I heard my first actual live rock and roll band, my fate was sealed. And I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do.
You know, that answer was a perfect segue. As your mom's pushing you in this swing,
yeah.
You're saying higher, and you would go higher,
yes.
much higher than that in your career. But the song that she was singing was a gospel song,
yeah.
and we all know that blues has deep roots in gospel.
Uh-huh.
And you've had a lot of run-ins with that because is it true? Well, we all know it's true, but for the people out there that don't know it's true, I'll Play for Gumbo, the Jimmy Buffett song,
yeah.
is you, right?
Yeah, he talks about me in it.
Absolutely. That third stanza is absolutely about the Sauce Boss. But, you know, he's saying, praying and buffeting for the gumbo.
Yeah.
And then in the chorus, he says it's like a religion.
Yeah.
You have become this high priest in Florida blues music. Let's talk about some of the tenets of your faith. Let's talk about your music. What do you have to have to be who you are musically? Is there anything that you have to have, or is it just an expression of imagination?
Well, I have a few things, you know, guitars,
sure.
drums, this and that, you know. But I think what, for me, what all music has is vibration that centers a group
yeah.
of people around a single a frequency, if you will.
Absolutely.
And when you get a bunch of people that are all on the same wavelength, if you will,
mm-hmm.
it snowballs and it becomes something that's not just somebody up there regurgitating whatever it is they learn in rehearsal.
Yeah.
It's a performance is a thing that's it. I think what to really do it, you have to have an audience, because the musician is part of it. Yeah. And you know, you can make music just by yourself, and it'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
But when music is shared, like a lot of other things, like food, for example.
Sure.
There's a thing that happens that barriers are broken down, and labels are dissolved,
yeah.
And people just are there with the music, without whatever happened to them today, and whatever their political or economic situation is, or whatever.
Sure.
This music brings people together. And I've noticed that as time has passed over the years, that it's become more and more, people are becoming hungrier for real music.
Sure.
And so I think that's basically what you need, is to have an artist or a musician playing real music for real people.
Mm.
And
I have this thing that I say that live music is like an intimate conversation between three old friends. One of them's the venue, one of them's the performer, and one of them's the audience.
Yeah.
And your last
everybody works together.
Together.
I mean, the bartender's part of this situation.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like, depending on what the venue is, everybody has a part in it, and just by viewing it, you become a part of it,
mm.
It's medicinal.
There's no doubt about that. You say in Small Town, the song that you sing, everywhere is just another piece of the world, and translating that back to your last anecdote, everybody in that place is a piece of the show, no matter whether it's the bartender or the crowd, everybody is.
The guy who's sitting in the back who doesn't say a word to anybody that just is really digging your music,
mm-hmm.
He's a big part of it.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's more than just communication of words. It's a communication that is nonverbal.
That is nonverbal.
Yeah.
A love or a frequency.
Yeah.
Before we get into some of your new stuff, which is something that we're really excited about, to have a new set of songs by the legendary Sauce Boss, I want to ask you something else as a fan. Let the Big Dog Eat, you know, this massive hit, right? And serendipitously enough, it would be on the soundtrack of a movie that my parents liked, Something Wild, which I think explains.
Yeah, the Demme film. Yeah,
the Jonathan Demme film with Melanie Griffith and Jeff Daniels.
Yeah.
And Something Wild describes you perfectly and your whole style. But let me ask you something. You also, that song has met another soundtrack with the Jimmy Carter, the Rock and Roll President, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And these soundtracks that you've been a part of, how does it feel to know that not only you're a part of these grand soundtracks, but that you're a part of the soundtrack of people's lives, people that you might not ever see, or maybe some people that you see every day? What does it feel like to know that people have decorated their lives and their memories with your songs?
Well, it's an interesting thing because these days I am so wrapped up in the music and mm-hmm. so invested, if you will, and I can feel it.
Absolutely.
I can actually feel it. And in this stage of my life, most people have retired by the time they get where I'm at, but this is what's keeping me alive, because not only the cardiovascular of, playing guitar and drums and singing all at the same time.
Sure.
Or just fronting the band, whatever I do. There's also the spirituality, mm-hmm. which lifts you up. It's music is gospel for me.
Absolutely. I can. First of all, you can see it in the way that you perform. I come from a gospel tradition in myself. I was raised by a Southern Baptist preacher, and then I'm a Southern boy, right? And you can tell by the way that you're performing, even though that you're playing blues music, there's something that you're catching up there that can't quite be explained.
I've been around
by
a little bit, man. You know what I'm saying? And you know, some of the places where I've been and sung, there's a lot of magic and gospel going in
absolutely.
There. Some of the homeless shelters I played in has more gospel than a church.
No doubt about that. Let me ask you this. In your last answer, you said to some place that you've never been. Does a place like that exist, being the Sauce Boss?
I would
think that you've been everywhere, and I've heard that you've been so many places.
But, you know, I'm very fortunate to be not quite famous. Legendary, maybe, but not quite famous. And so, you know, I can, when I take off my little monkey suit without my chef hat on it and no checkered pants, all that, nobody knows who I am. And it's really cool.
And it's probably kept you sane to a certain extent, being able to keep some of your energy.
Yeah, that's part of what I do, that a lot of people, when they reach a certain place, they just can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Or they have to wear a disguise or something. Uh-uh. You know?
So let's talk about where all of the legendary and not the quite fame has brought you currently. You were dropping a new album.
Yep.
Is it a project that you're just as excited about as all the rest of your projects?
More so.
More so. Tell us why.
Well, a couple of years ago, during COVID, I was sitting around twiddling my thumbs a little bit. So I had this idea from a long time ago, I'm going to build me a studio. And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And I released an album, the first album in the studio that was mine a couple years ago. And I was going, yeah, this is pretty cool. And so I said, well, it's time for another one. And I'd had some time to work out some of the kinks and stuff, you know, because we're engineering and we're playing and we have other engineers helping us out. But it's a big, huge thing for Cornbread in Kitchen here. It's like going, let's see, how am I going to be an engineer, you know? So we kind of got into a working system, and the band has just been really rising to the occasion. So when we began this album, it was just pretty instantaneous that it was going to be good, mm-hmm. just because of the vibe and the new material, which is it's a little bit funkier. And it's just got some really good songs on it.
And for the people at home, what is the name of this album?
It's it's called With Extra Sauce. That's my band, The Extra Sauce. When I bring the extra sauce, it gets pretty rocking.
So, you know, I've been around for only 37 years, but that's long enough to have seen you play live. And a lot of us are used to you kind of being this one-man band,
uh-huh.
right? And so the extra sauce, I don't know if it seems like a good thing, a bad thing. You might have to convince us, because we're used to seeing the Sauce Boss by himself.
Well, you know, I had a band. I traveled around for 30 years with the band, you know, all over the country, in Europe, Canada. And I was seeing the writing on the wall about how a lot of the venues are closing,
sure.
and this and that. And so I guess it was about 15 years ago, I said, well, I think I'm going to do this one-man band exclusively for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's turned out to be really, really nice. Obviously, it's a whole lot easier in many, many ways. And it's a lot more lucrative, but I just like playing with my buds, you know what I'm saying?
I heard.
So few years ago, my friend Brett Crook and I were sitting talking, and he said, Bill, I'd really like to do some stuff with you. And so I said, well, let's jam, man. And so we got together and jammed a little bit and got a few other guys in on it. And it's evolved over the last couple of years, but it's become something that has a lot of chemistry. Local boys, we've got Neil Gorey playing guitar.
Neil's Phenom. A great guy. Yeah, I absolutely know Neil. Neil's a great
and,
guy.
And Kendrick Jacobs has joined us on the bass, and he's nothing short of a monster. And so we are just having the time of our life just putting out this music. And I think we all surprised ourselves because it's all, it's amazing. The quartet is so, it's not cluttered at all. It's just, it's pure music and no redundancy, no, it's just what's needed, and it's beautiful. I'm just
it.
In love with it.
I don't know if you keep up with the new slang of the day, but one of the things that kids are saying all over the country and the world is let him cook. Now, the origin of this slang is when somebody's doing something really good, you gotta let them cook, no matter what that thing is.
Yeah.
I think you may be a founding father of let him cook, because when Bill the Sauce Boss Wharton is in the pocket with the drum and the guitar and stirring the gumbo, not only are you cooking figuratively, you are cooking literally. Let me ask you something about how you've been able to meld art forms, the culinary art and the sonic arts on stage. First of all, well, it's a two-part question. I'm going to ask you one at a time. First of all, how incredibly hard is that to do? Brag on yourself.
You mean the musical part of it?
No, well, or, I've seen you stir. I've seen you cooking and dumping stuff in. And
while I'm playing. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, it's a juggling routine for sure. But it's kind of thing where, for me, the whole thing is holistic.
Sure.
I've been a cook for a long time. I wasn't trained as a cook. I've been a guitar player for a long time. I was got the on the job training, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just have been doing all these things, and somehow, I think the sauce brought all this together.
The hot sauce?
The hot sauce, yes.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't that much of a stretch. When I started playing one-man band, it was kind of like, well, I was a drummer, and my feet know what to do, so I'm not going to talk to them about it. And so I would play the guitar, and my feet would just play what they felt like playing.
Sure.
Yeah, and I pay my left foot what I paid the bass player, and my right foot I play double, and for what I had to pay the drummer.
You have this cool thing, because from every publication I see, it says something north of 200,000 people you have fed over the years as being a result of being audience members at your show.
That's something like 240,000 people fed for free.
For free.
Over the last 30-plus years.
Sure.
It's kind of my message. I have some. Would you like some?
Before we wrap up, I have a question that I want to ask you. And this can be a short answer. Do you have a favorite song that you use to do the things that you just talked about? Is there a song that when you play it, you know it's going to deliver exactly what you want it to deliver?
Well, Let the Big Dog Eat generally delivers that.
Yeah.
Because it's got a pretty wide appeal. On this album, there's a few things. There's a tune called Barbecue, which I co-wrote with Kendrick Jacobs. He had this really good riff, and I supplied the words and the melody, and try this. But it seems like whenever I write a song, whenever I record a song, that is what I'm looking for. no matter what the tune is about, is I'm looking for that community. And so that influences everything.
Sure. In closing, I will say two things. We are so glad that you have been around so long to give us what you've given us and to also deliver something new that we are looking forward to hear. But in your last answer, when I asked you about the songs, you brought up Let the Big Dog Eat and you brought up Try This. Uh-huh. I am so glad that the big dog, the Sauce Boss, joined me today to eat a little bit over words. And I am so glad that I had a chance to try this. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you all for joining us at home for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.